just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's time for the podcast that I like to call Mr. Disney Goes to Washington.
Mr. Disney Goes to Washington. That sounds like a great show.
Doesn't it?
Let's do it.
You would think it'd be a great idea.
You would totally think so.
But you'd be wrong.
But so, because it's the 4th of July, we came to work anyway.
You're welcome.
And
I should be at a barbecue.
That joke never gets old. but we decided to do something a little bit special for tonight's episode, that we would do... a thing that maybe not everybody knows about. Some people might.
Yeah.
But there was going to be a park called Disney's America.
Because who better to own America than Disney?
Basically, you're all living in Disney's America now.
Right. They've done taking over all of your media. So, completely welcome to Disney's true. America.
Yeah, completely true. But no, it was planned in like the late 90s. And it was going to be a park that was going to be near Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know, pretty close to that, so that if you were going there to see all the other things that you're going to see, that maybe you might spend one day with Disney, mm-hmm. and go see a Disney's go see the Disney park while you're there. Right now, doesn't that sound like a good plan to you?
In theory, yeah.
Would you support this plan today?
This is my issue with this concept. They kind of did it with California Adventure as well. They knew a lot of people come to California and want to see a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
And so with California Adventure, there's like, well, let's just build everything here so you can see everything about California without leaving Disney.
Yeah.
And it's not really the same. It's a fun idea in theory.
Completely.
But I feel like it kind of misses the point of traveling.
It completely is right. Yeah. Like if you're going to California, you can't just skip the Golden Gate Bridge in lieu of seeing the Golden Gate, a fake one.
Right.
It's kind of like going to Vegas and seeing the Statue of Liberty and thinking you saw the real thing.
Right.
It don't make sense, y'all.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. So, but I don't think that was necessarily the concept of it. It was just one more thing to do while you were there already. Mm. And so I think so for Washington, D.C. specifically, it might work really well because it's a fairly small place, kind of. Like, sure. Things are close together, and it's very adult-oriented. A lot of adults want to go there and have a great time, but
it's
kids...
very political for some reason.
I you know... Lots of monuments, a lot of white stone, I guess, but...
A lot of
but you can see why things. Kids would be like, no, Dad. Yeah. You can... No, I don't want to go sit on Mr. Lincoln's lap. No.
You can't sit on Mr. Lincoln's lap.
Oh, you can't really do that?
I don't think so.
Well, that's even one more reason.
Why
not.
Would they let you climb
so
up
So why
giant...
would you ever go? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, this negates our next trip to Washington, D.C.
Right? So those are there for the 4th
for
of July.
Picture sitting on Abe's knee. Well, what I thought interesting about it is that part of the reason that they even talked about it, we get to blame again on Euro
Eisner.
Disney.
Oh, really? You're taking me there, are you?
Did you know this?
I don't think so.
This is my favorite gripe. You all know how I feel about Disneyland Paris. They had just done Disneyland Paris and were having major issues with it, obviously. Running over budget, not great public opinion, all these sort of things.
Uh-huh.
And so they were trying to find ways to build parks in the United States, maybe a bit scaled down, you know, that sort of thing. And... so they kind of did something that Disney has done before at this point, which is they kind of snuck in and started secretly buying up options to buy land,
uh-huh.
not claiming that it's Disney.
Right.
Because...
which I'm totally in support of, by the way.
Are you in support of that?
It happens all the time.
Does it?
Uh-huh. Real estate people do it all the time.
Oh, we'll see. Because Disney knows that they have deep pockets,
mm-hmm.
and everyone knows Disney's got deep pockets. So if Disney comes a knocking, you know, mm-hmm. you can bleed them for a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if they show up as somebody else.
Yeah, and they were controlled like 3,000 acres that they were going to use for this space.
Right.
Which is huge.
That's a lot of right? space.
When you consider Disneyland is 55 acres and it's when it originally opened, 3,000. I can't even imagine getting that much space near Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that seems crazy. Like it'd be expensive.
Doesn't it?
Just in general, like Disney or not, that feels expensive.
Completely true. So, yeah, for that, they set aside actually $650 million in the 90s, which adjusted for inflation would be like $1.2 billion, $1.3 billion today, which would be a lot of money. So it would be interesting that Euro Disney would spawn off this idea, you know?
Right.
It seems like they needed, I thought it was more of like a quick fix, you know?
That's what I thought they would be going for too, but Disney never does things on a small scale.
Disney Quest?
Oh, jeez.
We'll talk about that later, but... Wow. No, you're right. You're right, though.
But if you're building a theme park, you have to make it as appealing as possible.
Completely right.
And so the concept for Disney's America was going to be a celebration and a discussion of American history, right? And they had, like, the themed lands like Disney does. They had things themed to Native Americans. They had a Civil War fort. They had an Ellis Island type of thing. They had a turn of the century state fair, a Midwestern farm, something called President's Square. Like, these are all very Americana ideas.
Yeah.
I think that they were kicking around to basically, I think what a lot of people thought too, is that they were capitalizing on American history is what they were doing. And
I guess.
In some ways I can totally agree with that, you know, but it's not like we don't do it all the time.
Right.
You know, but.
Well, and they still do it because we have like the Hall of Presidents and we have the, the USA Pavilion at Epcot. And
yeah.
Things.
And Disney, and so not just Disney, but. I just imagine
it would be all those things combined into one park.
Right. Disney's not the only one that capitalizes on the American experience. You know, every USA monument, every national park, you know, there's a lot of people that capitalize on America being a country, right? It's not a new concept.
Ever bought an American flag? No, I'm just kidding.
Which I think most people have, right? But is this something that you would have wanted to go to? Like, just from the basic discussion that we've had here.
Absolutely.
This sounds like something you would be excited about.
Yeah, I think it's one more thing to do when you're at if you're at Washington, if you're in Washington DC.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, especially if you're going as families and stuff, it does give you a thing to do. So for that reason, and if it is a one-day event, then I could see that. But Disney's not really about that as much anymore. They want to make it an all-inclusive experience.
Right.
And so for that reason, I can't imagine that they would have wanted to stick to that concept very long. And so I think that could have become a problem for them.
Well, and they were talking about building hotels and all that kind of stuff, which is kind of just par for the course for Disney these days.
Right.
So I think that they definitely were thinking of starting it out maybe as a one-day thing, but then turning it into a juggernaut.
And I think like that was exactly, else. I think that could very well be what people were worried about, is because that's what they do.
Right. They well, and, do. You know.
Very specifically
so. You can only blame them so much for that, right?
Absolutely true. But the thing is about it, that I thought was going to be a concern, just in my own opinion of it, is it gets really cold in Washington, D.C. area,
super
right?
Cold.
So is it going to be a seasonal park then? Is it only open for the summertime?
Yeah, they said that they were excited about the concept until they realized that they would probably have to shut down for 4 to 5 months out of the year.
Right, like a lot of theme parks in that area does. They all have to do it.
I would assume so. Yeah. So for Disney to have a park that shuts down for 4 months just is unthinkable, isn't it?
I think so.
I can't imagine that would be profitable
for them.
For them.
Yeah. They don't even close for Christmas. Christmas is the biggest day of the year
for Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super crowded. I mean, almost as crowded as New Year's.
So for that reason would be the one of the reasons that I probably don't think that it would be, you know, because we've had that problem as well, that we like, you don't want to buy a season pass necessarily and stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you're only able to go there for 4 or 5 months, that everything then you have to take that into consideration.
Right, for sure.
And, ugh, I just hate it.
Yeah. Well, and another problem that they were running into was that they were building in the backyard of some of the wealthiest families in the United States.
Oh, really?
There are extremely wealthy old money families that live in the area.
That would make sense.
And when they saw Disney buying up land potentially to build this park, it took them 5 days to put together a counter program.
Legitimately 5 days?
Legitimately five.
Ooh, days. Those rich people know how to do things.
Rich people get what they want.
Yeah,
right?
They get things done.
Well, and I think that was probably one of the main reasons that Disney's America didn't come to pass is Michael Eisner said pretty bluntly, these people have a lot of money,
uh-huh.
and it would have cost us a lot of money to fight a lot of people with a lot of money,
uh-huh.
and it probably just would have exhausted all the funds
for
to build
park.
The whole park in general, just trying to fight off these gargantuan lawyers.
Yeah, basically. And depending on how close they are, I can see where that could, you know, where that could be an issue.
Right.
Where people may not like it necessarily.
Well, I mean,
especially if it's an affluent area. Like,
yeah.
you don't want to do it in Beverly Hills. You can't build in Beverly Hills, you know?
Well, there's no space there.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
part of the other reason that people were a little iffy about it is because they were building really close to a Civil War battleground.
Mm.
And yeah. people thought it was a little disrespectful.
I can see that.
To the history of the area, which I don't have a problem with. We, you know, we live in the South where there are battlegrounds that are fenced off that we know that uh-huh. major battles happened there. And those areas, for lack of a better term, deserve some respect for all the blood that was spilt in that
specific area.
Yeah,
it was the bloodiest
area.
War in U.S. history.
Right. So I think people, I don't think Disney was actually building on a battleground.
Right.
But people saw that they were close to it and thought, I would hate to go to this battleground to be respectful or, you know, whatever it is that they're going to do there. And then you look across the street and there's a big wall with people screaming on the Matterhorn, you know, like it just,
and that's fair.
It doesn't feel respectful to the battleground.
That could definitely be fair as well. We have found though that were like Epcot, they added educational things into their park and
right.
I find them to be very well done. You mm-hmm. know, the Living with the Land ride, one of my favorites. I just love it.
Which is funny because not a lot of people love it, so I'm glad that you do.
That I love it. Every yeah. single time I'm like, I totally forgot how fantastic of an idea this, you know, this is. Oh, love it. and so I know that Disney has the ability to teach people on a new level
right.
and make it entertaining for their families and for their kids and everybody else. A lot of Tomorrowland was educational in the when it was first opened in
sure.
a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of with the like House of the Future and different things.
Right. Well, and that's 100% what I feel like Disney's America would have had to have done is set itself up to not just be an amusement park, but be a tool for educating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Talking about American history. And I think, unfortunately, that was also something else people were a little nervous about, was how is Disney going to handle the more sensitive subjects
yeah.
in American history?
Yeah.
How do you discuss the Native Americans with any kind of objectivity?
I'm not really sure they still do a good job of it on when you're on the Mark Twain boat going around.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure now that it's as sensitive as it could be.
It well,
it's getting better.
Yeah, it's a product of its time. But there are a lot of things in American history that you would have to tackle that are difficult to tackle.
It would be in an amusement park?
In an amusement park
yeah.
setting. If,
get that
if
with
you were
your
building,
churro.
Right? If you were building a museum, you can have a respectful moment and have a frank discussion about things. When you're riding a wild train through the West, you're going to have more of an issue.
Right.
Trying to be respectful.
Right. And that's the other thing that I thought would be a problem is like the live shows that they try to do in entertaining fashions.
Mm.
Like I would get really nervous about what interpretation they took with some of those.
Sure.
So I can see where people would have been put off by that for sure.
To be fair, they have an amazing show at the Magic Kingdom. We need to stop and watch it at some point because I love the Muppets so much.
Yeah.
But there is a live Muppet show in Magic Kingdom where they discuss American history.
Hmm.
and Miss Piggy's constantly trying to get into the act, and they're discussing Paul Revere. It's very funny and educational and well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more the direction they were leaning.
Sort of a tongue-in-cheek,
happy-go-lucky kind of park.
Yeah, I'm thinking, again, if I'm a young family with two kids, that might be something that I'd want to add into the trip to help support the additional education that they may get in other places, you know?
Right.
But maybe you don't take kids that are that young to Washington, D.C. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the...
We'll find out.
I guess it depends on the kid, right?
Yeah.
But they had some great ideas for attractions in the park, honestly. Like, some of them have been realized since, and some haven't. Like, for instance, they were going to have a working steel mill.
Ooh.
I'm not really sure how that was going to work in an amusement park, because those things are hot.
Yeah.
And very dangerous. But to make sure that it stayed extra safe, they wanted to put a roller coaster through the steel mill also.
Oh, of course.
Naturally.
That's exactly what you would do.
Because who doesn't want molten steel dropping on them while they ride across on a train?
But we got Soarin' from that, right?
From that one? I don't think from that one specifically.
It was originally designed to be in the part that was called Victory Field. Going to be part of Soarin'. That's where Soarin' was originally conceptualized.
Oh, see?
And it was from that. As a matter of fact, also Grizzly River Run was going to be part of the Lewis and Clark expedition. California Screamin' was going to be in the State Fair roller coaster park.
Oh.
And Condor Flats, which we know about, right? Somewhere?
It's been rethemed, but yeah.
That's what it was originally, was Condor Flats, because that was also going to be, basically, that's what Victory Field was
right.
What Condor Flats ended up becoming.
Yeah.
And they said, actually, all of California Adventure basically was stolen from this
concept. That would
make
sense, because it's a very Americana type of park in general. And then they just kind of rethemed it to be more California Adventure, California themed.
Which
right?
Interestingly enough, Disney almost bought, what's the one right up the street? Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, Knott's Berry
That was available for them to purchase in 1997, and they were revisioning all of these things to be used in that park.
Huh.
And that sale did not end up going through, and then they ended up basically just putting a lot of that into became a lot of California Adventure.
I can't imagine Disney doing a coaster park like Knott's Berry Farm is, though. Like, Knott's Berry isn't really known. I mean, this is just my perception of it. It's not really known as a theme park. It's more of a
Six Flags type
of thing. Yeah, kind of a Six Flags type of thing.
Hmm.
So Disney would probably have to do some work when it got in there, unless they were just going for more of a coaster park idea.
Interesting.
Which is totally possible, right?
Yeah. I kind of wish they would have bought it, but that's a whole nother story.
Well, yeah. Well, you kind of got what you wanted, though, with California Adventure, apparently.
But we see how well that worked out, because they immediately revamped the entire thing.
Right. So. Well, and that's the problem, too, is that this Disney's America-type park would not be very Disney. And that was people's complaint about California Adventure the first time.
Uh-huh.
They got in there and they said, there's no Disney IPs in here. It seems like just standard attractions that you can find anywhere. Why is this a Disney park? And I think building Disney's America, they might have gone that way also.
And I think people would have been more forgiving of that, though, if it's at the nation's capital.
If it's near Washington, D.C. Like
it becomes a whole different... People have a different expectation of what that park is going to be completely.
Do you think it would have turned into like a hipster sweater kind of park where they're like, we're going to Disney's America to learn, like
something like that,
like lots of fancy folks?
I would be wearing a sweater because it would be cold.
Well, so. you would not be wearing a sweater, because I think you wear a sweater about 2 days a year.
That's probably true.
But I would probably be in a sweater. I'd probably be in a parka.
Oh, it might be a nice change of pace, actually.
Yeah. Let's just think, not getting sweaty in a Disney park.
Oh, it'd be magical. It would totally be magical. I would love it. That would be fantastic. But yeah, since they didn't end up buying Knott's Berry Farm, they never built that one there either. So I guess we'll never really see the concept. But we see it enough with other parks.
Yeah.
We see enough of it in the parks that maybe we don't need it.
Can you imagine how busy a Disney park like that would be on the 4th of July, though?
Oh,
like
you
would have to do an amazing fireworks show at Disney's America for the 4th of July, right?
Completely true.
Like, you'd have to do big parades.
Legendary.
And a huge fireworks display and
you
things.
Could put it on ABC. Oh, it'd be great.
Well, of course, because they own it. So that's where it would end up, at least, right?
I'm helping with their synergy.
Yeah. I mean, I do have ideas for other Disney parks that we'll discuss on another podcast, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
But I feel like you kind of need to stay from the middle of America down, like climate-wise, mm-hmm. because I think if you go too far north, then once again, you're dealing with the snow.
Completely right.
Which is really difficult, I think, to run a park in.
Right. 100% true.
It was a bold idea, but from what I can gather, since they were trying to be secretive when they're buying up this land in the first place, they didn't really have a chance to touch base with people on what they were doing
mm-hmm.
and to see what public opinion might be or what they could do to kind of grease the wheels with the locals or, you know, what kind of theming would people find more appropriate. And so it kind of, they bought up the land in secret and then just kind of sprung it on people. And I don't think people were quite as receptive as Disney would have hoped they would have been.
Yeah, I wonder if that would have affected. It wouldn't have, but you know, it could have maybe had some sort of impact on the Florida parks, you know, the Walt Disney World, because a lot of people do travel down from the east down to Florida to visit,
mm-hmm.
and that would be so much closer that why would you? But you would, because it'd be a completely different park.
Yeah.
So it would have no effect on it, basically.
Well, there you go.
That would be my guess anyway.
Those are facts.
The facts. It's more of a rumor or a lie.
Well, or a what might have been type of situation. But it's like I always say, Mickey for president, y'all.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.